Welcome back, one and all, to the Our Outdoors portion of your weekend. I am your host, Nick Simonson, outdoors writer, with my materials online at newsdakota.com and dakotaedge.com. So much to read and learn about up there as we prepare for a great spring of fishing. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, as we were reminded by Old Man Winter this week of the whipsaw roller coaster that we tend to live on here in North Dakota this time of year. Yeah, we got a shot of snow, we got some cold, we knew exactly what we were up against, waiting for that other boot to drop when we saw highs across the area in 50 and 60 degree marks. Boy, it sure was nice on that Monday to experience that super early spring feel, and then reality came crashing down if you were out on Tuesday in those sub-zero temperatures and those strong northwest winds. Boy, it was a different world 24 hours apart. So we take what comes, we get ready for it, we're paying attention to what's going on out there. We're going to see some warmer temperatures, and then we'll see some moderating temperatures as well. Don't forget, it's still winter for a little bit longer, and you're still going to face those weather challenges. But that also means that you can still get out there on the hard water where it's available. Get out there at those access points and make sure you're checking them out as you do. Those warmer temperatures and maybe some of that heavier snow is going to create some slush, some water, some difficult travel in certain spots. So be aware of that so you're not getting stuck. You're not going too far off the road unless you have the proper equipment or you're out there on foot to do so. So you're not plowing through slushy areas. Keeping an eye out for those pressure ridges and those other areas of concern, places where water is flowing in, and you're being safe and taking your best shot for that late season angling. Otherwise, get ready for that spring fishing and take your best shot when the open water arrives. And speaking of shooting, we've got some great information coming up after the break with Jeff Long. He is the National Archery in Schools Program Coordinator for North Dakota, giving us the lowdown on this program, which has grown by leaps and bounds in the last two decades to about 16,000 students here in North Dakota taking part in the activities with the state tournament coming up. That's going to be discussed right after this quick break. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Just when you thought it was safe for spring, we got a little bit of a setback, but everyone's looking ahead to some great spring archery activity with National Archery in Schools Program State Tournament coming up, and the guy to talk to for that is Jeff Long. He is the NASP State Coordinator. He's also the Education Coordinator with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Hey, happy to be here.
Appreciate you being on. For those who don't know, give us some background on the National Archery in Schools Program. How did it start? It's fantastic growth nationwide and in the state, and what the goals are.
The program was started a little over 20 years ago at this point in time. I can't believe it. It was started in Kentucky by their equivalent to the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. They started it as a way to recruit and get into a different audience with kids to get them into the shooting sport. From there, it caught from state to state, neighboring states like wildfire, because it was wildly popular. And after it, not too many years, before you knew it, they had 46, 48 states, and within, I'd say, a five-year period, probably. And, you know, North Dakota jumped in there. I think we were, like, state number 25 or something back in 2004. That's the history. The goal is, you know, make as many shooting sports enthusiasts as we can through archery. It's amazing, you know, the number of kids that just, you know, they walk into the gym one day, and when it's archery, they just light up and they go, ooh, even if they've never shot it before, something about it, they just, it's something different, it's something unique.
Yeah, certainly, and that thwack of the arrow into the target certainly is satisfying as well. What are some of the benefits that you're seeing with our youth in North Dakota experiencing through the participation in NASP?
Well, you know, there's a lot of beneficial things with archery. Of course, there's, you know, the program is based on safety first, so their safety protocols are second to none. In fact, they have a pretty impressive, they have a zero safety incidents. But when you realize the number of kids, and that is, you know, it's 1.2, 1.3 million per year, you go, oh, okay, so that's a little different than just, yeah, we were 20 years of a perfect safety record. When you consider the volume of kids, it's pretty impressive. It's a disciplined sport, just based even on how you progress from one line, the waiting line, to the shooting line, to the arrow line or the target line. Just that itself is highly disciplined. So kids have to do that. One of the great things about it, actually, is you can have a high school All-American linebacker lined right up next to you. And this doesn't matter whether it's in the classroom or at a state or national tournament even. They might be standing next to a fourth grade girl that's in with her first year and maybe is not athletic at all, and they can stand side by side on that shooting line, and she might just beat him.
Talking with Jeff Long, NASP State Coordinator, putting it all together for the upcoming state tournament. Let's talk about that. How does NASP feed into hunting for wildlife management agencies such as Game and Fish, and what sort of crossover do you see from maybe those kids who hadn't hunted and tried NASP and then explore hunting?
Well, to date, that's still kind of the holy grail question that everyone wants to know. There can be no doubt that if you're putting the bows in the hands of, in the, our peak was 16,000 kids reported, there can be no doubt that when you put a bow in the hand of that many kids, some of these kids are going to get fired up about shooting a bow, and they're going to have curiosity about other shooting sport things, other hunting and or fishing, bow fishing, whatever the case may be. That's just gonna, you know, that's naturally gonna happen. You know, there's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of reasons for this, higher deer populations, but you can't really deny that a lot of these archery clubs that were existing and all of a sudden blew up to where there was, you know, they went from, you know, a handful of members to, you know, their membership numbers went through the roof, and our interest in bow hunting and bow license sales also started to increase all around the same time that NAST started to take off here in North Dakota. So is it the reason all that happened? No. Is it a contributing factor? I think it's pretty hard to say that it's not.
You can at least get some correlation and maybe a little causation out of that. For kids that are getting started or thinking about getting started, are there any barriers to entry, such as equipment, gear, or training, or is that all taken care of as part of the program?
I'm glad you asked that, because that it's all taken care of part of the program, and that was the design of the program. They said, hey, we're going to make sure that there is no barrier to entry, that the equipment itself, and I, you know, we get this question, you know, I wouldn't say often, but we do get this question from time to time. A little less now because it's pretty well known what's going on. But originally, especially in some of the archery clubs, they were a little reluctant because it's like, well, you know, it's the Genesis bow. It's, you know, it's the equipment is pretty basic. It's all these reasons. But what they quickly have learned is that same basic equipment, when you design it so that the kid, the cost of entry is very low or just taken care of altogether because the schools have all the equipment. But if the kid says, hey, yeah, I want to get my own bow, you're talking about a $200 bow, not a $1,000 bow or a $1,500 bow, and plus gear to make it $2,000, $3,000. And there are some other programs that's what it costs to get into them. So that is a barrier to entry. And on top of that, now you also have an arms race where it's, oh, well, you know, that kid does better than me because his family bought him a better fill in the blank. They can afford better, whatever it is. He's got the good stuff. And I just can't compete with that. Doesn't matter. It's like football. It's the same ball. You just got to be better at carrying it.
Certainly good to have that level set, at least for that starting, like you were talking about. Okay, so we're wrapping up here with Jeff Long. Jeff, state tournament's coming up in March, in mid-March, as you mentioned. Give us the details, the whens and wheres, and what kind of events will be conducted there.
Yeah, so whens and wheres, March 15th and 16th at the Minot State Fair Center. It's been there for, well, at least 10 years now. You do have to be part of a NASP school. There's actually four different events going on within the NASP state tournament. We have the NASP Bullseye, which is what everyone kind of envisions with the Olympic style target. We have a NASP IBO 3D program. That one has just grown tremendously. And then we also have a spin-off program called Varsity Archery. What it is a more advanced NASP program. It's not through NASP, but in order to do it, you got to be part of or used to be part of a NASP program. So you know the format is exactly the same. You just have different targets and you have more capable bows. They have sights, they have releases, they have all this stuff. There's a 3D program for that one. And then there's also a paper target component of that. They can shoot in one or both of those. So a kid could go to the NASP state tournament and compete in four different events.
Yeah, certainly an awesome opportunity and different choices to make as they get geared up. If kids or parents or schools have questions on starting a team or maybe getting involved, what resources or contacts can they tap into to learn more or to register?
You know, of course, they'd want to go to the NASP website and kind of take a look there, the Game and Fish website. But always, they can always contact me. I'm the state coordinator. I'm the one that implements the schools and does a lot of the training of the schools, gets the equipment in place, and basically gets the program, you know, up off the ground. So they can for sure contact me, 701-328-6322.
Yeah, it's great to have you out there doing all the work on the ground and helping these schools get started and, of course, more involved as they mature and move along. Jeff, we appreciate all that work, and most importantly, thank you for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So a lot of great information there from Jeff Long, coordinator for the National Archery in the Schools program here in North Dakota. Look him up online, naspschools.org, for more information on this incredible program that's growing by leaps and bounds and the great tournament coming up. I hope you'll check it out. And if you do, I'll see you in our outdoors.